Hi, it's Patrick Cox here with more stories about languages and the people who speak them.
The World in Words is made possible in part by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.
Today's episode takes us to Eastern Canada.
Vous faites ça lorsque vous arrivez.
Music, favorites from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
En même temps, t'es là. Anybody qui va là l'acheter.
This is what you hear if you spin the radio dial in this part of Canada.
Life. Sorrow of churches.
Mais là, t'arraches ta peinture, probablement. Là.
Non, ben, non.
Now, you probably know that Canada has two official languages, English and French. But it's not that simple. It never is. And if you're not Canadian, well, I'm in the same boat. We didn't learn this stuff in school. So here it is. Each Canadian province and territory, even some cities, they each have their own language policy. So you get a place like Nunavut, a territory in the north. The official languages there are English, French, and Inuit. But if you take away the territories, you're left with Canada's 10 provinces, where the vast majority of Canadians live. And these provinces, all of them except for one, they are officially single language provinces. They're not bilingual. Mainly, that one language is English. Places like Ontario, British Columbia, Nova Scotia. Which is the bilingual exception? The place where both English and French are officially languages of the province. I'd guess that most non-Canadians would assume that that exception, that bilingual province, is Quebec. That's certainly what I assumed until I started going up to Quebec and doing stories. But it's not. Quebec is also a one-language province, officially French. Sorry, Canadian listeners, if I'm kind of boring you right now. I know that you know all of this stuff, but the rest of us, we don't. So anyway, that bilingual province, step forward, New Brunswick, or Nouveau-Brunswick. Yes, New Brunswick has a real mix of English and French speakers. And in a particular part of this province, there's even a dialect of French Acadian that blurs those linguistic boundaries. You can hear French and English spoken not just in the same conversation, but in the same sentence. And this isn't Franglais, far from it. Franglais, if you haven't come across it, is a kind of a jokey parlance that especially Brits use when they're essentially speaking English, following English grammatical rules, but they throw in some French nouns and verbs. Let's parler franglais. This New Brunswick dialect, it's called Chiac. It's kind of the opposite of that. It's been around for a long time, too. And if some of its most enthusiastic users have anything to do with it, it'll be here for a while yet. Here's Emma Jacobs in New Brunswick.
Café Clementine is the place to start the morning in the city of Moncton. Around the same small tables, people are talking over each other in English or French. Chris LeBlanc orders a coffee at the counter in a mix of both. You probably couldn't make that out, but he says, je prends un large double Americano pour sortir. That's je prends un, French for I'll take a, then large double Americano, English. Pour sortir, to go in French. Moncton is Canada's only officially bilingual city. It has a population of 64,000. Roughly two-thirds of them grew up speaking English, the rest mostly French. And around here and the surrounding villages, that often meant a particular kind of French.
Nobody taught me Chiac. I would hear Chiac as a child. I mean, that's how my parents taught.
Chiac incorporates words from old archaic French and from the indigenous language Mi'kmaq, but it's best known for borrowing from English.
Very basic example, j'ai backé mon car dans la driveway.
That's, I backed my car into the driveway.
There's a lot of English words in that. J'ai, French, backé, back, which is an English verb, but I conjugated it in French, backé. Mon car. So mon, French, car, English, dans, la, French, driveway, English. So it's almost half-half. It's like when I say j'ai backé mon car dans la driveway, I'm thinking in French. I'm thinking that's a very French phrase.
Unsurprisingly, he'll find he includes more English talking about something technical, like cars or computers. But Shiak's hard to improvise if you're not from here. Take English nouns. In Shiak, they generally get a consistent gender, like French nouns have. It's ma purse, feminine, mon car, masculine, but you have to know the rules. And Chris, who's a filmmaker, he can also attest there are complicated social rules, local politics to navigate too. 2 years ago, he made a movie with a group of middle schoolers about bullying. They included dialogue in Shiak to make it sound natural.
Moi, là, dernier Halloween, là, elle fait peur ma grand-mère. Là. Elle était habillée comme Barney. Ça fait chien.
But because of that, other school districts refused to show it. The local press started to show up.
That was a tough one, man. Kids were involved. These were like 13-year-olds put into the blender with reporters and language experts and all kinds of pundits on the internet, on Facebook.
Finally, the film is being shown with French subtitles. Some mischievous opening credits now warn the film includes violence inappropriate for young children and Shiak, which may offend some adults. To explain how this class project could become such a community lightning rod, here's Annette Boudreau. She's a professor of social linguistics at the University of Moncton. She says there's been a negative discourse about Shiak for a long time.
For at least a century. When you look at the newspapers, for example, you see that it was already there, that people hated all the English borrowings.
Boudreau also grew up in this area. As a student, she went to study in France on a scholarship and remembers becoming aware of her own unusual vocabulary.
At that time, all we were saying about ourselves was, my God, do we ever speak bad French?
A couple of things contribute to the idea that Shiak is bad French. First of all, French speakers are expected to position themselves towards what's spoken in France much more than English speakers do to, say, England. North American English also broke away from Europe a long time ago. Same thing, but we're not taught British accents. Then Shiak's in the middle of an incredibly complicated, sometimes tense relationship between French and English in Canada. Canada has French language purists trying to protect their language against the ubiquity of English in North America. That movement is most associated with Quebec. Certain words actually get translated back to French there, which the French in France just outright adopted from English. In Paris, a stop sign reads stop, but in Montreal, the red octagon says arrête. If there's a symbol of Moncton's bilingual coexistence and slightly more relaxed attitudes, it's probably their stop sign, with stop above arrête. Some people think the linguistic equivalent of that stop sign might sound something like Shiak. The word Shiak supposedly comes from the name of the nearby town of Shediac.
Supposedly this gentleman who was from there had gone up north in New Brunswick, where people spoke differently, obviously, and they'd ask him where he was from, and he'd say, Shediac, Shediac, Shediac.
This is Dono LeBlanc, no relation to Chris, just a very, very common Acadian last name.
And people from around here, when they speak French, they speak really, really fast. So that's when they, I think, started calling him Shiak, Shiak.
To situate us, New Brunswick borders the U.S. state of Maine. That's to the south and west. And then there's Quebec, kind of wraps around New Brunswick, also on the west side and north of it, too. To the east, there's the Atlantic and Canada's maritime provinces. Those are islands that stick out in the Atlantic. So New Brunswick is the point where the English-speaking maritime provinces connect to the Canadian mainland.
Oh, that's really helpful to picture. And I know that the distances are huge because I remember driving from Boston up through Maine all the way to Moncton. And it took, I think it took about 15 hours. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in this bilingual city at the end of it. And that geography right on the linguistic fault line where Moncton is, how far does that go back? Does that go back to the colonial period?
Yeah, well, actually, it's interesting. You mentioned Boston because the French had two colonies, New France, today's Quebec, and then Acadia, which is where Moncton is. And that's where the first French family settled in the 1600s. The story of what happened to their descendants is not all that happy, but it's how they came to be living on this linguistic frontier today. Because this area of eastern Canada was ceded to the British, who in 1755 they deport 10,000 Acadians to France and other English port cities like Boston.
Some die on the boats. Families get separated. Eventually, and you have to imagine, they live in Boston. They learn a bit of English to survive in these English colonies. A number of them, they make that trip back north. Others who had been living with the indigenous Mi'kmaq, they also eventually reemerge.
Okay, so the ones that had been exiled in these English colonies, did they come back bilingual?
I mean, they come back with more English and more contact with English. And it doesn't end there because they come back and they find these English settlers now occupy particularly a lot of the best land. And English, the language, it now predominates in public life and in government, really right through the 1960s. What you're hearing here comes from the late 60s. It's a protest in Moncton that appears in a famous documentary called L'Acadie, L'Acadie. Protesters want public services provided in French for the French population. They're actually chanting Long Live Moncton, signs are in English. They know clearly who they've got to convince. In the documentary, they're mocked by members of city council and during their marches by people on the street.
You're making too much noise!
My grandfather often reminded me that in his days, like let's say 1930s, whatever, up till then, up till 1960s, 70s, when the law changed, you only spoke white, you only spoke English in the streets of Moncton. That's how you lived. You lived in English and the French was spoken within the house.
This is a contemporary musician I spoke with, Gabriel Malenfant. To explain one thing here, he uses that racial term for English, white, that comes from the conversations of the 60s. French Canadians, especially French Quebecers, identified their situation as a linguistic minority with African Americans in the U.S., with anti-colonial movements. Some people today really consider that a stretch, but the 60s were dramatic. While Moncton had marches, Quebec had riots and a separatist movement, even a terrorist organization. The Front de Libération du Québec bombed the Montreal Stock Exchange and carried out kidnappings. This next part may sound a little counterintuitive, but it was actually during this period, with the riots and the protests, that some people around here started using the word Chiac more, in addition to French Acadian, to describe how they spoke around here, and did that with pride. According to Annette Boudreau, the professor, this isn't as contradictory as it might sound. Throughout French Canada, there was this search going on for an identity, and Chiac was a way of claiming a particular regional one.
It's very different from saying I speak Franglais, which you can find all around the world, while Chiac is a way of giving oneself a name.
New Brunswick became Canada's first officially bilingual province in 1969. The Official Languages Act added French as a second official language to English. That was a huge victory for French speakers, but only adds to how complicated Chiac is in this context. So much work has been done for the right to speak French in public. And not everyone's proud of Chiac. Some people think of it as the language of poor, uneducated Acadian fishermen, essentially contaminated with English. Musician Gabriel Malenfant described an experience I heard about a lot. Even though he grew up speaking French in a French household, he struggled in French class at school.
French, I was barely passing in the 60s, 70s, you know, type of deal. The French was different, and it's academic French, so it's kind of the teachers tell you you don't talk well, and if your parents aren't sensitive to the history of the language, they tell you you don't talk well.
It's fair to say that Malenfant got past any shame. This is Rap and Chiac from his hip-hop group, Radio Radio. Radio Radio actually continues a tradition. For decades, musicians and artists have been driving the conversation about what it means to be Chiac and French Acadian. Dano LeBlanc, who told the story about the origins of the word Chiac, is a little older than Malenfant. He said it took encountering one of the first popular musical groups to highlight Chiac, to even make him aware he spoke in this particular way.
There's certain words we use, we might not have heard them on television, but we just use them, you know, amongst family members and things like that. And that's just the way we spoke, we didn't think about it. But when I was in junior high, there's a musical group Acadian musical group that came to play at our junior high called 1755, or 1755.
That's 1755 after the year of the deportation.
And they had lyrics that were in Czech, and, you know, suddenly it was written down, you know, in the lyric sheet in the album, and you could see it, and suddenly became really self-conscious of the way we spoke.
Not long after this, Dano and a friend dreamed up an Acadian superhero named Acadie Man. As an adult, LeBlanc turned Acadie Man into a comic strip with Shiek-speaking characters and then a TV show, which is really funny. It plays a lot with language. This is a scene with a frustrated audience member waiting for a performance to start.
Ça va tu commencer soon? Let's go. Allez votre frame.
Allez votre frame is basically the Shiek equivalent of get your ass going. Acadie Man ran for 5 seasons on local TV. By the time funding ran out, it was also airing in Ontario and Quebec. But if it's complicated speaking Shiek in New Brunswick, it's even more complicated taking it elsewhere. While in Moncton, I'd been told I had to visit a bar called The Laundromat. So one evening, I walked there. On the way, passing 2 little French girls giving English commands to their dog. At The Laundromat, I asked the bartender who there could help me understand how languages mix here. And this is the first table he sent me to. In the back corner, I meet Caroline Savoie, a 20-year-old singer-songwriter who her friend volunteers competed on the French version of The Voice in 2014. Her exotic Acadian accent and Shiek was highlighted on the show.
Yeah, they put subtitles.
That's subtitles so Savoie could be understood by other French speakers.
Mademoiselle Caroline Savoie.
On the show, I'm the only one they subtitled. There were people from Quebec on the show. I was the only Acadian. I thought I was pretty clear. I'm pretty good at speaking French, so it was weird a bit.
Well,
it's one of the comments I have a lot. Like when I sing in France or in Quebec, they're like, it's so weird because when you sing, you don't have an accent. You wouldn't think you're from anywhere. When I talk in between songs, I think I'm pretty shook.
Savoie mostly seems to find the whole thing funny as she talks about it. Well, some people in French Canada would not. Savoie and her friend Marie-Annick Bisson say there's another Shiek musician, Lisa LeBlanc, who's gotten big enough to tour in France and Quebec. Here's part of one of her songs, Shpan Cowboy, or I'm Not a Cowboy.
In Quebec, too, there's been a lot of controversies over there because she speaks Shiek in her songs, and a lot of Quebec reporters are like, well, it destroys the language.
I feel like it actually destroys it, if you know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel like it destroys it, like, at all, but, like, it's been a controversy for...
That's what we get from other provinces, like, you're destroying your French.
It's worth noting that young Quebecers, the ones buying Lisa LeBlanc's albums, they can also switch fluidly between French and English. But Quebec has that reputation as Canada's language hardliners, whether that means translating their stop signs or publishing anxious music reviews in the paper about Shiek musicians.
So, Emma, can we talk about this a little more? I'm not 100% clear on what the problem is. What is it that makes Shiek so threatening?
I think the worst-case scenario is that English gradually erodes French culture and language. So the question is, what boundaries do you set to prevent that? How much Shiek is essentially too much Shiek? Or really, how much English is too much English to use when you're speaking French? I want to introduce you to someone else I talked with about this, an author. Her name is France Daigle, and she's one of the region's best-known writers in French. She uses formal French narration, but her characters often speak in Shiek. As her day job, she works at a call center, and Degla told me about a conversation she had just overheard between two coworkers. One was describing construction on her new house. She's mixing French with almost all English nouns. Degla, of course, starts jotting down phrases. And she goes out, she gets her notes, and she comes back to read from them for me.
Okay, so il y avait still un wall constructurante. Dans le bathroom, là, il y a la hall.
There are just all English nouns. Bathroom, hall, dining room. At one other point, the woman says she's going to put in a carpet or a furry material.
Ou du matériel furry. Ensuite, de l'autre bord, t'as le washer puis le dryer. Dans la cuisine, j'ai mis un double sink. Ben, c'est quasiment une brand new maison.
That's brand new maison. That's brand new house.
Oh, right, right.
Puis, j'ai hâte que ça soit fini. This is just about the most real French sentence in the whole thing. J'ai hâte que ça soit fini.
That means essentially that the woman can't wait for the construction to be finished.
Yeah, wow. Well, you know, my sense in hearing all of that is it sounds weird. It sounds totally weird. But also, the flow sounds just totally natural.
Yeah, I think Degla would say something similar. She has this kind of delicious ambivalence about the whole thing.
It sort of pains me deep inside, but it's also there. And as a writer, using words as a material, it sort of became fun and interesting to work with this sort of hybrid language. Is it dangerous? You know, it's like those other things, you know, drugs and sex and, you know, it's sort of fun, but is it dangerous? Who knows?
Huh. But I do see what she means. In Canada, especially, like some language issues, they just seem like a third rail. In the way that conversations about language, they can escalate really quickly in Canada into the political obsessions about accommodating the French minority, right?
Right. And she's very aware French has always been the underdog. This has not been a two-way street. French speakers get way better at speaking English than English speakers do at speaking French. But Degla's also got this very pragmatic view that this particular Shiak-speaking woman in her office, for example, Degla doesn't think she doesn't know these French nouns. But maybe she has an English-speaking husband at home. So all the conversations she's had about it, these renovations are mostly in English.
There's something of the human spirit going into this use of the language, and if it works and if we're understood and we're communicating. It's not all beautiful, but it's... So I don't know. I really don't have answers. I have more questions than answers.
So Shiak has one more thing in common with sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That was her phrase. In that the people most immediately concerned about it are parents. So my next step was to talk with parents about how they handled language with their kids.
You know, we have a saying that we learn French, but we catch English. Le français s'apprend, l'anglais s'attrape. And so it's almost like a cold or the flu. I mean, it's, I would say, by osmosis.
Bernard Richard graduated high school in 1969, the year French became New Brunswick's second official language. He spent his adult life thinking about and implementing bilingualism as a provincial politician. Canadians actually call it duality. A big recent controversy was about whether some French and English students could ride the same school buses.
Because then is the music that will be playing on the radio, will it be French? Will it be English? Is the bus driver going to be bilingual? Will he be able to speak to children in their language of choice?
That's right. They're arguing for segregated busing. But as someone put it to me, and they like their water metaphors a lot around here, French in New Brunswick is an island in an English ocean, constantly threatened with erosion. The fear for literally decades has been that French kids would grow up trapped between languages, unable to speak either standard English or French very well. Richard, this New Brunswick politician, raised his own kids in a rural, mostly French village called Cap Pelée. They spent summers in a cottage on the shore.
The kids were outside all the time playing with the English-speaking kids, and by the end of the summer, the 5 or 6-year-old hadn't gone to school, hadn't been exposed to a lot of English, would easily and comfortably enter into conversations in English.
he and his wife also wanted to make sure their kids held on to their French.
You know, it wasn't a military regime or anything like that, but at the cottage we would play our CDs, they would be French music. Je voudrais voir la mer et danser avec elle pour défier la mort. We would consciously watch the Canadians' hockey games in French.
And he has definitely raised bilingual kids, though perhaps not totally with the outcome he expected. So what you're hearing, this is Richard's son, Timo Richard, also a former member of Radio Radio with Gabriel Malenfant. And as part of Radio Radio, he rapped in some pretty heavy shack, sometimes enough to make his father pretty uncomfortable.
I would cringe every once in a while on some of those hip-hop songs. When you've spent a lot of your life contributing to supporting French language and language rights, all of that stuff, you know, you kind of wonder what it's all about. But they could have decided to work only in English and might have been much more financially successful, and they chose not to, and so there's a reason to be proud of that.
This gets at something that a bunch of people told me around Moncton, that if it wasn't for Chiac, French kids around here would just grow up to speak English. I really, to be honest, didn't get it until I met Timo and his own kids. This may come as a surprise to his fans, but the former musician tries not to use Chiac around his daughters, Maggie and Stella. The thing is that Timo knows there's more to learning standard French than the emotional or the political stakes. It's about being able to work in French or in a bilingual setting someday. There's actually this growing English rights movement in New Brunswick, arguing that because they're not bilingual, they're being unfairly denied public sector jobs. But anyway, Timo's daughters, his daughters get English everywhere else. School, the internet, TV. We're right on the U.S. border. Timo, actually, he didn't grow up watching French TV from Quebec. He watched Ghostbusters and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. With his kids, he can't even change the channel to push back the way his father could. His girls watch what they want with headphones. So now every conversation he has with the older one in particular, they're negotiating over language.
She'll be talking in French and, papa, j'ai entendu dire qu'il y avait un nouveau jouet qui sortait, puis il est pretty awesome. Pretty awesome?
Now, when his daughter says things like that, it's not about what language she can speak, but which she chooses to.
So she heard that in school and thought it was cool, and now she's using it, right?
If English is cool and all around her, this is where that growing up to speak English could happen. It's possible that as she grows up, she'll end up using more English than she does French. And while she's a little young to be listening to her father's Chiac music, he arguably may have made another contribution to prevent that. Timo and Radio Radio and Lisa LeBlanc have made French cool too. This local trademark, a way of speaking French with a little more cachet and visibility. They've made language a topic of conversation. The author, Franz Degle, describes growing up in a world where there was a lot of ambiguity around language. When her brother got a paper route delivering the English language paper, for example, her father's reaction made it clear he'd broken a rule, but it was an unspoken one. There weren't the kind of conversations going on or even the controversies she watches with a lot of interest today.
Were not winning, it's too much of a big word, but we're going where things should be going, and that we know the difference.
The difference between Chiac and standard French. Knowing how to speak both and being able to choose between them.
And we can play with the language, and we can be either very laid back about the whole thing, or like Radio Radio, very playful and avant-garde.
You could argue the world is becoming more and more like Degla's corner of Canada. The internet and people moving around the globe make for more and more encounters between languages. We'll have our own issues to negotiate over how to accommodate each other and where to set boundaries. But best case scenario, perhaps our future could look and sound a lot like New Brunswick.
Emma Jacobs. She recently moved from Canada the French-speaking part, to another French-speaking place, Paris.
Au pire, on ira ensemble. On mangera du Kraft dinner. C'est tout ce qu'on a besoin.
We have lots more on Chiac at our website, pictures from New Brunswick of some of the people Emma talked with, and some videos too, pri.org/language. You can get to the same place via the World in Words Facebook page. The pod is also on Twitter, @LingoPod. I tweet as Patry Cox, that's PatriCox. Oh yeah, did you guess the accent of the woman reading the NEH credit? Here she is one last time.
The World in Words is made possible in part by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.
Yep, Italian. My very good friend, Bianca Baggio. She's from the north of Italy, near Venice. And I don't know if it's affected how she sounds when she speaks English, but she's been living here in the United States for several decades. Grazie, Bianca. Grazie to listener Elaine Lee. She had Bianca's accent right down. Okay, new accent to guess coming up. Let us know if you recognize it. The more specific, the better. Don't forget to leave us a review at iTunes or wherever you hear this podcast. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
The World in Words is made possible in part by National Endowment from the Humanities, celebrate 15 years of excellence.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI. Oh.